Good morning. Sunday morning.
Well, good morning. What? Sunday? No, it's Friday, Nancy. And it's the news, according to me. Yes, it is Friday. Friday morning, 8:16 on April 23rd. And we are here. I am here for you. I'm here to shed some light and some sanity on the insanity that is our current condition. Meanwhile, I'm drinking chai tea with a splash of cinnamon creamer. Just a splash. Don't worry, I cleaned up the mess after I splashed it. I was thinking about this. The shows I've been doing lately have seemed to have taken a dip into the darkness zone. Now, the TNA to me singers have been out on vacation for a while. They're on hiatus. They just haven't thought of anything really good to sing about lately. And that's going to change. They're coming back next week. Hopefully to produce something worth listening to. But I think the point here is that the show has gotten a little bit down. And I guess the only reason for that is because I think, I was pondering and meditating and musing, mulling, praying, inquiring of why this might be the case right now. Why is the show kind of taken a serious tone? Which, you know, it's always serious, but in a jovial kind of way. I'm serious about being jovial. And it's taken, you know, it's really the country is, we're finding ourselves in a very dark place. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not like there's no hope. If there was no hope, I wouldn't be doing this at all. I wouldn't waste my time. But I believe that hope comes from an educated and informed populace. Because I do believe in the power of the people with regard to making the right decisions if they are told the truth. This is it's not in scripture, but I don't know who originally said it. I know Lincoln was made it famous. I don't know whether he actually was the one who came up with it or not. But let the people know the truth, and the nation will be saved. Basically, I'm paraphrasing. It's probably not the exact words he used. I think he actually used that phrase several times in several different speeches, and probably said it a little differently each time. However, it's true. I think that if the nation knows the truth, the collective body of the nation will usually make the right decision if they understand and are educated and understand the principles for which they are voting. Not always, but in general. At least we make an informed decision going into the darkness if that's what we choose. But otherwise, you know, right now we're just ignorantly following along, blind leading blind, into a ditch. More like a cavern, maybe like a canyon. Or a crevice, or a crevasse, if you're certain, echelon. So we have this issue now of the kind of the darkness of our situation. And it could very well be that this is the beginning of the end of this nation as we know it. This could be setting up something that could be irreversible. It is potential to be irreversible. Is that possible? I don't know. But so bear with me, and I'll say this on the very forefront. If you are not a believer, and if you're not, I'm preloading this basically to say that a lot of the stuff I'm going to talk about is not going to be fun, easy stuff. Because it's not going to be fun, easy stuff going forward. The trajectory that we're on right now is not going to turn around very quickly. And you know, I've mentioned this before. We have it's a huge amount of stuff going on. And you only are informed by the things that they choose to inform you with. You know, good investigative reporting right now, there's a lack of it. There's very little of it. Most everything is kind of generated by the AP, the Associated Press. The Associated Press filters out whatever they don't want you to know about, and that goes out on the AP, and the AP, everybody grabs information. The Associated Press is basically a conglomerate or a co-op of various news organizations. That compile all this information, and then the Associated Press basically puts out on their feed information that's coming in from all their affiliates. So it's kind of like this clearinghouse of information that people submit things to the Associated Press, and that's why you see, if you subscribe to the AP on YouTube, you'll find sometimes it's just looks like B-roll kind of thing. It's just. Nobody talking. It's just a video of a particular scene of where a crime was committed or something that happened or an accident, aviation accident, that kind of thing, or whatever it is, train, issue. And so it's it's just kind of this. But someone is there kind of going through this information and filtering through it and then posting it. And it's supposed to be innocuous and not supposed to have any kind of bias in it, much like public television or, NPR. And yet there is a huge, there's a huge bias there. By design, it is that way. And it's because they can filter out and basically drive certain incidents and certain narratives based on the incidents that they're showing you. So you're only going to see the news that they want you to see. For instance, Oklahoma. They just passed, or they're in the process of passing a bill. I don't know if they passed it or not. I don't think it made it through the House. It may have made it through the whole thing, though. The governor needs to sign it. The issue is, and I've got a problem with part of this bill, but it's basically a bill that it's to kind of stave off some of the issues with regard to the whole rioting thing and all that kind of stuff. Like one of the things in the bill that I really like is that if your car is surrounded by rabid, rioting people, that you have the right to drive away, and if you hit someone in the process, if you cannot avoid driving over someone, this doesn't clear you to just drive into a crowd of people. Don't get me wrong, but if you pull up to a stoplight and all of a sudden there's a group of people start surrounding your car, and this has happened, and you have no other way. You know, that's this one lady in I think it was in Florida. Can't remember where it was. She pulls up to a stoplight. She had no idea because there was no permit. There was no, you know, these people weren't, they didn't have a permit to protest. They were just marching down the street, closing off the streets as they went. She didn't realize there was this parade going through. There were no, you know, there were no signs. There were no barricades, no police redirection of traffic, which, you know, that's what you need when you go start shutting down streets like that, which is why you need to get a permit to do so. You have to fully in your within your rights to protest, but not to shut down a street. It's called a public easement. And you're taking away people's rights to use the street, the people who have paid for it. That needs to be done with due process. And that's not just getting out on the street and throwing a tizzy fit is not due process. That should be in the law book somewhere. Throwing a tizzy fit is not due process. Article 2, Section 4. And so this lady pulls up to the stop sign. That's a new thing. I've got some cities. It's a stop sign. She pulls up to this stop sign, and she finds herself with her children. I think she had at least one child in the car with her. And she's surrounded by people who are beating on her car, yelling at her, telling her to say a phrase, telling her to say something. And she's not feeling real good about this. I mean, you talk about having your life feel like it's being threatened at that point. Not just your life, but the life of the child you have in your back seat. Now, if that was my wife and child, I would tell her to point the car down the road, lay on the horn, and hit the accelerator. Get out of there. We'll deal with the mess later. Because they started and they caused this mess. You were minding your own business, being a law-abiding citizen, and next thing you know, your life is being threatened. Well, guess what, folks? You've now made that decision of your own. You've gone across that. You've went across the line. And now you've taken your life into your own hands. The consequences of threatening someone and their child is that you yourself may be injured or worse in the process. That's the consequences of your decision. I saw a meme today that was kind of interesting. Well, anyway, this Oklahoma law, just to get they basically made it that you're excusable if you saw on the weather way out of that, you can. They made it very clear that in the law that now you can't just go driving through a crowd of people. But if you're in a situation like that, you know, it gives you a little more leverage to be absolved of any responsibility for what someone else decided to do. Saw a meme the other day about how Derek Chauvin, after he was convicted, he stood up and put his hands behind his back. They put him in cuffs and they hauled him off. And how things would have been different for George Floyd if he had done the same. And, of course, there was a lot of uproar about that, the guy posting that meme. Because, of course, that wouldn't have dealt with the problem of injustice. Well, no, but George Floyd would be alive. And so would a lot of other people who were killed in the wake of the riots, whose lives were destroyed in the wake of the rioting and looting. The destruction that happened after that. And you may think, maybe you're listening to this and you're on the other side of this thing, and you were involved in the violent protests, or you're glad that there were violent protests because it made a difference and it made something happen. Let me tell you what it did to the heart of this nation. That's not winning any hearts and minds. Let me just put it this way. It's not turning people to your side, winning people over. It's making people mad. And you may think you got some results out of it. All I'm going to tell you is the divide has gotten larger. People aren't happy about it. People are not celebrating. They're hoping it's over. They're hoping that, okay, they got what they wanted. Let's hope it's over. No, it's not over. And the naive people who believe that we've taken a step in a positive direction, a step towards healing, I got news for you. It's going to be a rude wake-up call, because this has now set a precedent. It has left people feeling like they have impunity, like they're one breath away from getting a lawsuit that's going to win them a lot of money. They say, well, it wasn't even a half hour later, someone else was shot, killed. Now it's going to be every time there's a police interaction with a person of color. Anytime and every time, it is the potential for the jackpot winning of a $27 million lawsuit. Their ticket to whatever. The issue now, and I just heard about something about, let's see if I can find it. Apparently there's a protest in North Carolina. I guess there was an incident there now. Every day is going to be an incident. It's going to be in the news, and anything to do with it at all. Protesters rally after black man is killed by North Carolina deputies with a search warrant. And of course, the protesters are demanding body camera footage. No patience with anything. Just no, hey, let's see what happened here. But a black man was killed by police. Therefore, we must riot and loot. Because, you know, racism. I guess this was in Elizabeth City, North Carolina. There's no real details, and I don't even trust some of the details I'm seeing on the news, because you're getting a lot of upheaval from family people or friends or people who saw something or heard something from someone else that saw something. Everybody wants their moment in the news. And so I'm not going to, I hesitate to even look at some of this. I'm going to go ahead and click on this and see what happens. See what we find out. A search warrant. Okay, so they have a search warrant, which means, you know, they don't have a search warrant to search my house. Let's put it that way, because there's no crime involved here. Shooting spurred calls and law enforcement accountability and the release of body camera footage. Now, see, this, the problem with this releasing of body camera footage right away, the problem with that is that it messes with due process. This is evidence in a crime. In a criminal investigation, all of a sudden, they're you ever hear These guys get called before Congress. The FBI gets called before Congress, and they can't answer questions because I can't answer that question because there's an ongoing investigation. Because it taints the evidence. People speak to police during a protest in Elizabeth City, North Carolina. By the way, their mask is not over their nose, it's just over their mouth. And there's people behind them without a mask on. And of course, they're touching their masks and doing all kinds of things there. Let's just read through this a little bit. A North Carolina deputy shot and killed a black man while serving a search warrant Wednesday, authorities said, spurring an outcry from community members who demanded law enforcement accountability and the immediate release of body camera footage. Authorities wouldn't provide details of the shooting, but an eyewitness said that Andrew Brown Jr. was shot while trying to drive away and that deputies fired at him multiple times. The car skidded out of Brown's yard and eventually hit a tree, said Demetria Williams, who lives on the same street. Ms. Williams said after hearing one gunshot, she ran outside where she saw other shots being fired at the car. When they opened the door, he was already dead, Ms. Williams told the Associated Press, because she's a coroner. She checked his pulse and she did a presumption. She did pronounced him dead on the scene because she's a doctor. No, that's not in the thing here. He was slumped over. She said officers tried to perform chest compressions on him because they wanted to kill him. That's why they were trying to resuscitate him. A car that authorities removed from the scene appeared to have multiple bullet holes and a broken rear windshield. And I can't read anymore because they faded into you want to subscribe or not. And I don't, so I'm not going to read any more of it. And this is from the Wall Street Journal website, I guess it is. So we get one woman's account of what happened there. First of all, if you hear shots outside, let me just give you a clue here. If you hear shots outside, you probably should not be running outside. Just a thought. Shots are being fired outside. Maybe I'll run outside and see what's being shot at. Probably not a good idea. You should probably send the kids out to find out what's going on. That's how ridiculous. Think about that. Think about how ridiculous that statement is. But you're willing to run outside to find out what's going on. It's time to be locking your doors and getting into a safe place. And then, maybe calling some people in the neighborhood and find out what's going on. Or watch the news. There's probably a helicopter overhead with a live cam. Or send out the drone. At least just look out the window. If curiosity killed the cat, which I'm pretty sure curiosity's been roaming around my house here because my cat is asking for it. He's pretty curious. Sticks his nose in places it probably shouldn't go. Just saw a little side note here. Dogecoin is a joke, but it's no laughing matter. I happen to know some people who've made some big money with Dogecoin recently. I happen to own some Dogecoin. But the meme cryptocurrency is part of a wave of excess that spread across a bunch of speculative assets over the past year. Because Elon Musk has been talking about Dogecoin. And Snoop Dogg, I guess, has too. It was started as a joke, topped $10 billion in market value. And why investors online are pouring money into the meme-inspired virtual currency. A lot of money is going into it, and I don't know that it has gone up tremendously. I mean, it was less than a penny not too long ago. And now it's up, it hit a high of 42 cents here over the last weekend. And now it's back down to about 25 cents, 20 cents, somewhere around there. It'll be an interesting article. I'm going to read that later, just because I can. I can read, so that's what I'm going to do. See what their opinion on that thing is. So this happens down there, and who knows what was going on? Was the guy aiming the car at someone? Was he just trying to get away? Now, when someone is running away, if they are not presenting a threat, they shouldn't be shot at. And I think in some states, and I'm thinking most states, it may even be federal law. If you drop your weapons, if you have your hands up, or if you're running from the scene of a crime, I think in some states it is this way. If you're running, they cannot shoot you. If you're running away. Because you're not endangering anyone's life. Unless it is a situation where you are wanted dead or alive, if you are that much of a risk, like a terrorist type situation where that they know if you get it, you know, it's kind of like if Bin Laden was running down through the street. Of course, they vilified him to the point where, you know, everybody wanted to kill him. And you know, it's he was already tried and convicted, and I think in absentia. Like that's, you know, part of our justice system. But it's a weird situation with him. Okay, everybody thinks the guy should have been dead. Okay, without hearing any evidence. Again, we don't, you know, we the people just decided that. That's the case. How do you know he was really the mastermind behind the whole thing? Or supposedly it was some other guy who was the mastermind behind it, but it was Bin Laden's people that did it. Or I don't know. It's just, yeah. Yeah. He's gone. And we still have terrorism. So, you know, I have no problem with getting the bad guys. Don't get me wrong. I just, you know, why do we, who's the bad guy? And we think he's a bad guy because somebody told us he's the bad guy. And now I kind of wonder about that because, the organizations and agencies that are telling us that people are bad and the things the people they do arrest and the people they don't arrest, kind of makes me wonder what their motives are now. I can't say that I have a whole lot of faith in some of these organizations. And, it's a sad commentary on our country right now, but that's the reality of it. There's a lot of things that were exposed here in the last 4 or 5 years. So, having said that, this Oklahoma bill, now see, this is one of those things that you won't even hear about because of the news cycle and how full it is with all this other stuff. And, the narratives that they want, the stories that they want to push forward in the, of course, they're competing. Climate change and this, you know, the Green New Deal is taking a back seat to all the racial stuff that's going on. Well, they can't have that. John Kerry's fighting for relevance in the midst of all this, and so they start saying, "Well, the climate change is a result of social injustice. It's all related. So social justice is racial inequality is a part of climate change. It's all one thing. So we got to solve that too." You have to ask how are we proposing that we change this? The climate, by the way. Now we just shut down the entire world. And they're saying, well, we shut down the entire world and the climate got better. Really? Because you're telling us that it got worse. They were still heading in a bad direction. That we have very little time. Have very little time.
Well, I'm John Kerry and we have very little time to change the trajectory.
Really what it is he has very little time to actually accomplish anything, to get his legacy that he imposed a tax on all of us, which is exactly what they want to do. They want to tax everything that moves, including your bowels, because that's, you know, greenhouse gases come out of your butt, especially cows. So not only do they want to tax you for consumption, they want to tax you as you evacuate on the other end. and that's where we're going with this. And somehow this tax situation is supposed to change the climate. In the meantime, they're starting these other NGOs and other organizations. But guess who owns one? Al Gore. It's called a Carbon Offset Commission. where you can, well, I'm going to fly on a jet plane today, but then I'm going to do something else. I'm going to plant 10 trees, which that offsets my, for every jet, for every hour I spend on a jet, I have to plant 10 trees, and therefore I'm now carbon offsetting. I'm only going to use one square of toilet paper because I'm carbon offsetting. I'm going to ride my bike to work today to carbon offset, and I'm going to save myself $10,000 in taxes so I can take my plane ride next week. And you can buy carbon offsets, by the way. This is a big joke. This is where the joke comes in. I paid $10,000 for some carbon offsets, so now I can. And that clearinghouse somehow they do stuff with that money. Then they go back and they plant trees for you, and they do all this other stuff for you to make sure that you're carbon offsetting, to reduce your carbon footprint, because we're going to tax your carbon footprint. Oh, of course, they're only going to charge the big companies, the big polluters. Well, that's not going to be enough, so we're going to tax you too. But even if they just tax, let's say they just tax a company like, Nike. And then the price of your shoes go up. See, if they tax big companies, which is easy for them to do, that's why they like big corporations. It's all centralized into one. Just one place can affect, hundreds of thousands of lives. So they go, because mom and pop stores are tough to get. They got to go after 10,000 businesses, or just one business that employs 10,000 people. Which one would you rather do? So they go after these big companies, and supposedly that's all they're going to go after. Well, these big companies are going to pass that tax on to you in the form of higher prices. That's how that works. The companies aren't going to stay in business if they're, going to take a cut in their bonus. In fact, somebody's probably going to get a bigger bonus for coming up with a way to work around the carbon tax. So it's all a bunch of baloney. And they pretend like they're going to save the world. And we can save the world together if we just do this. If we just wear masks for 100 days, we'll save 100,000 lives. 1,000 people a day will be saved. If we just wear masks, the magic masks. Because somehow the science changed from nobody gets a mask to everybody has to wear a mask. And here's the thing. If you were so concerned about flattening the curve, if the mask was so effective, why didn't you just let us wear the masks? Well, because the first responders, the people on the front lines needed the masks. How'd that work out for you? Because from what I understand, there were a lot of hospitals that were unable to keep up, not because they were being overrun, but because the staff themselves were getting sick. They'd have it would burn through the staff. They would have outbreaks amongst the staff who were, they were wearing their magic masks. So explain that one to me, Lucy. I don't get it. I'm not saying masks aren't effective. I'm saying show me the data here. Show me the actual numbers. Let's work on this, shall we? Instead of just saying it works, or another layer, it can't hurt to put on another layer. Well. Okay, yeah, it, in a cartoon world, it makes sense. That's not what we're living in, are we? Or maybe we are. Come to think of it.
Biddy.
Yeah, I think maybe, I don't know. It's a little out of control, a little out of hand. So this law in Oklahoma, I'm circling back. I learned that from Jen Psaki. How to circle back. Yeah, Hands up, don't shoot. Yeah, I just see this thing coming across. It's hands up, don't shoot. That never happened, by the way. The guy they shot in Missouri, by the way, did not have his hands up. He had his hands out, and he was charging an officer. He had just robbed a store. Aggravated assault and robbery. But, you know, that wasn't the narrative that worked, so they had to change that to something else. This Oklahoma law now that's being passed, and the only thing I don't like about it, here's one thing in this law that I do not agree with and I do not like. They're making it illegal to film, to video. They were saying film. In the report I heard, it's like there's no film anymore, folks. It's digital. There's the film is a, it's made out of cellulose usually, and they used it, you know, it's like a chemical process. We have digital photography now. So you're recording a police officer on the job. That's not allowed because of the officer's identity needs to be withheld. Nope, sorry. That doesn't fly with me. Does not fly with me. That should, you're on the job, you're on the record. Now, if you are doxing that officer, if you're saying where the officer lives, if you're giving out any public information about the officer, I'm not even saying that the officer's name, unless you're the one under investigation, you can get his name, obviously. But if you're filming as a third party, you're filming something that's going down, like an interaction between another officer or an officer and a perp, the perpetrator. If you're filming that and you then, you know, disclose information about either party, in my opinion, I think that should be against the law. That's close to being a HIPAA violation type thing, in my opinion. That's the type of thing it is. Because you really shouldn't be able to do that. And if you want to blank out his face or whatever as the officer's doing it as you're doing your video, if you're going to post that on social media, I don't even think you should have the faces of either individual should be allowed to be posted without permission. That's just my opinion. If they want to do that, fine. But just simply the act of filming an officer as he's doing his job, that's outrageous. To make that illegal is outrageous. I totally disagree with that principle and concept. If I was an officer, I wouldn't care. I'm going to do my job. Now, if you dox me and put my home address out there, now we got a problem. But other than that, I'm, you know, because if I'm doing something that's unprofessional or against, you know, policy, well, now, you know, then we'll deal with that. And I have seen some officers, they're getting personally involved in what, you know, it's like, okay, so someone commits a crime and the officer starts getting mad at them. I had an officer one time got mad at me for speeding. I didn't realize what the speed limit was. I think I was driving through Georgia and I was wondering why everybody was going so slow. I was passing this guy and the whole line of traffic was going really slow. And I was like, what is going on? Look up and oh, there's a cop. I'm going by a cop. I thought I was going the speed limit. He pulls me over, all mad at me. Boy, why are you going? I mean, he was a typical Georgia accent, the whole thing. This was several years ago. Asked me why I was going 72 in a 55 or whatever it was. I don't know. Well, I thought that was a speed limit. I thought 70 was a speed limit there. And he spit out his chewing tobacco. I kid you not. He reached back around the car, spit out his chewing tobacco. Starts talking to me. I mean, he was a good old Southern boy. He's very professional about everything he did, but he got mad, which was unprofessional. And that kind of, I'm like, okay, this, you know, what happened to you today? You're taking your personal situation, apparently. You're personally mad at me for speeding, for driving past you, I guess, because I didn't even slow down. It's like, I'm going the speed limit. Zoom. I never saw a sign that said anything less than that. I don't know. And you know how some people slow down to like 45 going past a cop when they're doing it at the speed limit 70? I better slow way down here. I figured that's what everybody was doing. Like, why are you guys slowing down so much? No, I was wrong. And I got a ticket. I think it was like $150. This was back in late 1990s, I think. Back in the last century. When we had, old coal-burning cars. And the situation was, it was just weird. I was going to Florida. And I was driving through Georgia there, and it was like around the Atlanta area somewhere. So he was saving lives, by stopping me. Because, anyway, so that happened. I just thought it was pretty weird. He got so mad at me, personally mad at me. And, I didn't say anything to him, didn't do anything to him, just, made a mistake. I'll pay the fee, fine, I don't care, whatever. I made the mistake, it's my fault. Don't get mad at me about it. It's like, you'd think I drove over his dog or something, I don't know. It's just weird. But that happens, and I this deal with this kid that got pepper sprayed recently, this little lieutenant colonel or whatever he was, in the guard. He was trying to make a point. He's videoing his little incident with the officer that was pulling him over. And he was trying to make a point. He was trying to, have his way. The officer was getting upset with him. The other officer was kind of like, just do what he tells you to. Stop. It's like, this guy's going off the deep end. And then, so the guy ends up pepper spraying him in his car. It's like, what do you got a donut shop special you got to get to or something? What's the rush here? Why are you getting upset with this guy? It's like he was taking things out on him personally. And he said, right now I'm a little bit afraid to get out of my car. He goes, you should be. What's, the cop said, you should be. Well, what, now what do you, that doesn't de-escalate the situation. Who trained you to say that? What an idiot. That's just... Yeah, the guy was wrong in not complying. And not necessarily terribly wrong. The guy had some points. The guy in his car had some valid points. He was like, why are you pulling me over exactly? What is the infraction? Are you detaining me? Am I free to go? He was doing that, pulling that whole thing. And the officer just didn't want to deal with it. I'm going to pepper spray you. They pepper sprays him. Now he can't see to take off his seatbelt. And of course, now if he reaches down to take off his seatbelt, the cop has his gun out. He's on a hair trigger here. It's like, I'll open my door. I'm going to keep my hands up. You take my seatbelt off because I can't see and I don't want to reach for anything. You've put me in a very bad situation here. And if I reach down and you shoot me, everybody's going to say he was reaching for a gun. See the situation now that's escalated into a stupid, ridiculous thing? And so it's just... If you get a chance to look for that, look for it on YouTube. This guy gets pulled over, coming from work as a National Guard. I think he's National Guard. May have been straight military. I don't know, but I think he was living off base. I think he was National Guard, Lieutenant Colonel. I think, or Lieutenant, some kind of Lieutenant. I think, I don't know, Colonel maybe. I don't know, young guy. And I can't remember what the infraction was is they pulled him over because they couldn't see he didn't have a plate on his car. And he had a temporary plate, but it was in his window. But the window was so tinted that you couldn't really see the temporary plate. And once you got up on the car, you could see it because you could see it in the dash cam. But in immediately, at first they couldn't see it. That's why they pulled him over. So once they saw it, they should have just approached the car and said, we didn't think you had a thing, but let's do a routine. Just a routine check. They can pull you over. Once they've got you pulled over, they can ask for your driver's license and registration. That's just the way it is. Routine traffic stops, what's called. And they had probable cause for pulling him over because they couldn't see the plate. So they were full within their rights. The problem was he got emotionally involved. And then he escalated the situation into a situation that now he's got his gun drawn. And he's asking this guy to take off his seatbelt and get out of the car. Well, yeah, I'm going to reach down there with my eyes are closed because I got pepper spray. I can't hardly breathe. And you want me to start groping around down there to try to get this seatbelt off? And you're right now mentally unstable. No, thank you, sir. I'll open the door. I'm going to sit in here with my hands up and try to get out the best I can, but I can't take, I'm not going to reach for that seatbelt. I don't blame him. At that point, he's scared. So they kind of both escalated the situation into something it shouldn't have been. He should have just got out of the car. The cop asked him to get out of the car. He should have just got out of the car. Just do it. Just comply, you know, to some degree. There's some situations I don't consent to any searches of my vehicle. I just don't, based on principle. I don't have anything to hide. I just don't do it. You want to search my car? I'm not consenting to a search. I did it once. Well, the last time I did it was down in Texas. Here's another story for you before I go into this thing about Oklahoma. I'm going to finish up with the Oklahoma story. I was down in Texas. I had been delivering motorhomes. I would tow my little pickup truck. I had a little Nissan pickup truck. This was a different one than the story I told the other day. This was a gas-burning Nissan. The other one that I was talking about when I moved my airplane was a diesel-powered Nissan. This was a... And that was a quad cab. This one was only a club cab. Just had a little fold-down seat in the back. Didn't have a little like a regular seat. So I'm driving this little Nissan. It was two-wheel drive. My diesel was a four-wheel drive. And, no, I take that back. The diesel was a... Diesel was a gas-powered one. The diesel was a club cab, a two-wheel drive. I had a quad four-wheel drive Nissan pickup truck that was a quad cab. But this is back in the 90s, folks. This is, you know, a long time ago. And all of them good trucks. Very, very, I really liked them. Did an awesome job. Good gas mileage. Rode and drove well. Very dependable. So I had this little Nissan truck that wasn't quite as dependable. Had some issues. I bought it for like $600. Had to do a few things to it. Put a tow bar on it, and I would tow it behind the motorhomes. I would deliver motorhomes out of the Elkhart County area in Indiana, where most of them are built. And I was driving back home, and I had delivered this thing down in Texas, driving down this road, this little two-lane road. Speed limit was 70 miles an hour. I'm zipping along. Like, this is probably kind of cool. So back, you know, this is some of the national 55 mile an hour speed limit had just been lifted not too long before that. And so now I'm in a situation where I can drive 70 miles an hour legally down this little two lane road. Crazy talk. That's Texas for you. So I'm zipping along. I come up on another road and of course this is back in the days, this is before GPS. So I'm just using a map. So I get up on this little intersection where I'm supposed to take a right turn. It's like a major road, and it's four lane. I pull out, take off, and I'm assuming it's probably 70 miles an hour on this one too, maybe more. I don't know because it's four lanes, and it's divided. I start going up around this curve, zippity zoo. I accelerate all the way up to like 70 miles an hour. And the next thing I know, I got flashing lights in my rearview mirror. And come to find out, it's a 55-mile-an-hour speed limit area. Who knew? I don't remember seeing any signs from that intersection to where I sped up to 70 miles an hour. This female cop, very professional, had a little bit of an attitude, but she was very professional. No issues there. She pulls me over, starts asking me all kinds of questions about my vehicle. Why do you have stuff in the back? Or what's under this cover? I had my hitch and stuff back there, stuff I pulled off when I was towing, had all that back there. I also had a jug of water because I was having a problem with my water pump was leaking. And I knew I was going to have to change that when I got home, because about every couple hours I have to get out and put some water in it because it was leaking that bad. And so if I didn't do that, of course, then the water pump would probably go really bad and I'd have all kinds of other issues. But I got this, it was getting kind of annoying. So I ended up, because I have to kind of let it kind of cool down, and I put the water in and I keep going. And I had a couple thousand miles to drive home, or 1,500 miles to get home. So it was going to be a long trip. So I ended up stopping. And I had, of course, then as soon as I would stop, the water would kind of be dripping out. And she said something about you got water dripping out of your car. I was like, yeah, I got a water pump that's going out. As soon as I get home, I'm going to try to change that. Well, that's not good. No, it's not good. That's why I want to get home and get this changed. I mean, what am I supposed to tell you? I wouldn't think it would. That's not something I'm happy about. So she proceeds to say, may I search your vehicle? I'm like, sure, go ahead, search my vehicle, whatever. What else do I have to do besides go home? It's getting late in the day. I have to sleep in the truck tonight. So she starts taking the truck apart. And I mean, it took an hour and a half. I carried my Bible with me. She had that she had opened that and went through the whole thing. I don't know what she was looking for there, because people hide stuff in Bibles probably, because that's like an obvious place. Oh, well, the guy's got a Bible. I'm not going to touch that. Well, she did. She went through the whole thing. Everything, all in my, my toiletries, all of my stuff, every little thing was taken out, scattered all over my truck. And not strewn, but just, opened up all over the place. And very, very annoying. She looked around the truck, looked around the outside, which, we were sitting on the side of this highway. It's kind of dangerous, actually. We were on a bridge area where there wasn't much room to pull over. I'm sitting over on the guardrail. I'm, out of the way, because I just know how people drive. This is before texting, but people were still, looking down to, adjust their radios back then, all the stuff, other things that used to distract people that, are different now. And or looking down at their map. So I'm sitting there, and she finally gets done. And I was so tired of sitting there on this guardrail, so just ready to get going. I didn't bother putting any, I should have put some more water in my radiator, because it had drained out quite a bit. So I, instead of doing that, I got back in my car, and then I realized at that moment that she had taken off her sunglasses because outside of the car, and she'd actually set them on the front of my car, I could see them up on the hood, kind of like where the hood meets the windshield area, right in there. She sat them there. So I saw them there, and about the time I saw him, what I thought I would do is I was going to reach out there and grab him, put him on, and then go back to her car and ask her if she was missing any sunglasses, just as a joke. But about the time I reached up there to get him, I saw that she was coming out back from her car. So I figured out she forgot those. So I held them out to her and gave them to her. I'm going to need those. It's like, oh yeah, gonna need those, because you gotta look cool. So I went on my way, drove for a while. Of course, immediately my car started heating up, overheating, actually. By the time I could find a safe place to pull over, now I've got to wait till the thing cools down before I put any water in it. Well, the process of doing that, I probably messed up one of my. I think I messed up a. Kind of did some damage, at least to more damage to the water pump itself, but also did some damage to a head gasket. So I didn't make it home with that truck. I ended up, I got into Missouri, Illinois, right in that area. And, the thing just blew a gasket. Basically it was I was having steam dumping out of the exhaust pipe, pulled over, and, I had to have my dad come down with my other truck, and we towed it back. Actually, the four-wheel drive Nissan. We towed it back home with that. However, in the process of doing all that stuff, I tell you this whole story because of this. About 5 or 6 months later, I'm watching one of those shows about how police officers get into tough situations. And I'm watching this show, and this guy is standing behind his... I think I may have told you this story before, but I'm going to tell you again, in case you happen to miss that episode. Here's this guy standing in the back of her van, in the back of his van, the back part of his... And the whole dash cam's catching this whole thing. This guy's got like a 3 or 4 year old daughter standing next to him. And she's pulling the same routine. She's going through the guy's car. So she must have done this a lot, and it must have been successful, because she's doing it again. And she's messing around. And next thing you know, she's coming around the side of the car. She's got a little bag. I'm not sure what was in the bag. I don't think she was sure what was in the bag either. And of course, this guy realizes he's done. And he jumps her. He knocks her down and starts beating her face. The small child is crying, and he doesn't stop. For over a minute, she's already knocked out, and he just continues to beat her face. He grabs his child, takes off in the van. Another motorist, a couple minutes later, stops, and helps her. And when they showed her picture, it dawned on me, that is the same officer. When they said it was in Texas, I realized that was the same officer that pulled me over. She was injured so badly, she could not perform her duties anymore as a patrol officer. I don't consent to any searches anymore. One is I have nothing to hide. Get a warrant. Do your job. Just fishing around looking for something is, I appreciate you trying to keep us safe out there. But this just wasn't a good situation. If you got probable cause, go for it. I'm not consenting to it. That's just a principle. Now, having said that, the Oklahoma law, while they were trying to pass this thing, a group of marauders broke in illegally into the state house and started protesting illegally, trying to disrupt their temple of democracy. They weren't trying to affect any elections. They were simply trying to affect the legal process of legislation. And whenever this kind of stuff happens, and this happens actually quite often, a lot more than we're told. Recently, not just within the last couple of months, there was a city council meeting where a group of individuals broke in, started complaining, rioting, protesting, throwing a tizzy fit. And the council dropped the ordinance that they were trying to pass. They just dropped it. And they're not going to take it up again. That is the epitome of mob rule. You just let the mob win. And then they find out a lot of the people who were protesting that day were not even from the city. And there's a lot of AstroTurf, what they call AstroTurf, which are when they hire people to come in and protest from outside the area. They pay people to come in and protest. It's not an organic uprising, grassroots. It's paid to do it. And there's organizations like the Tides Foundation, Acorn, what used to be Acorn, all the things they divided up into. That kind of stuff happens all the time. So this is Oklahoma then is passing this law. And no thanks to the protesters. They didn't listen to the protesters in this case, which is a good thing. But I think it's a step in the right direction with what they're doing. There's some other things in that law, and you might want to check it out. But these are the kind of things that slip under the radar because there's so many other things going on that we miss. Stuff that would normally be front page news because there's so much other news going on. So keep your eye on the ball. Keep your head on a swivel, you might say, because there's a lot buzzing around us right now. And we need to stay alert and not become overwhelmed. It's very easy to become overwhelmed and just kind of give up on any particular subject. If we all just kind of take the time to drill down on the ones that are important, it's good to do. So God bless everybody. Have a great day, and we'll see you later today.